Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. This Friday, January 23rd, is National Reading Day. And to celebrate, I have a special episode to share today featuring Rebecca Y, a high school student from California. She created an incredible organization called Read to Respond. Rebecca has always been a voracious reader, and what began as a book club combined with community service has evolved into an international community of readers who are connecting and learning together. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Rebecca. She started something called Read to Respond, and I cannot wait to hear about it. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for being with us. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more, how old you are, where you live, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then tell us everything about Read to Respond, how it got started. Tell us everything.
So I'm a high school junior right now, and I go to Orange County School of the Arts. That's an art school, and that's where I study creative writing. So that's really where I started my literary journey. I've actually started reading since I was 5 years old. My mom would pay me a quarter for every book I read, so there was like some financial incentive in there, but I really learned to love reading for reading, not just for the benefits right. I would get from that. And then I go to my art school, which is where I study creative writing. And then when I was sophomore year, I decided I wanted to start a club because a lot of my friends were doing clubs, and I really felt like I wanted to bring what I liked to other people in my school. And since I loved reading so much, I thought I would want to do a book club. But the problem was a lot of people were already doing book clubs, and I felt like, you know, I wanted to do something more special with my club. And I really like community service, so I thought I could just put those two things together, make a club that's like community service and reading. So I called it Read to Respond, because we read and then we respond through community service. And how it works was we would read a book once a month, or we'd read like a piece of a literature, so like a poem, a screenplay, a short story. And then after that, we'd discuss the themes, and then we'd volunteer in our community. So an example would be our very first event was we read this story called, it was like Those Who Walk Away from Omlas by Ursula K. Le Guin. So that one was about like, there was like this town, it was dystopian, and there was this child who was kind of, it's a little dark. She was kept in the basement and she couldn't get any food, and she was just like kept in the basement. And then I know it was a crazy one to start off with, but we took that and we explored, you know, the themes of, you know, inequity, sometimes like child hunger. And so we went to a food kitchen that month called Mary's Kitchen, and we helped the soup kitchen. We prepared food, we cleaned the shelves. And that's what we strive to do every month. That last year, we read a story, and then we volunteered in our community. But this year I was like, oh, I like what we're doing, and I like how we're volunteering, but I wanted to reach more people. Because in my school, we're really lucky, we're really privileged, because we go to art school. So there's a lot of resources for us. We're able to read what we want to read, and it's a really free and like really nice environment. But I knew there's a lot of people out there that didn't really know English or didn't have access to books. And, you know, personally, my family's from Taiwan, and a lot of them, my cousins, wanted to learn English, but they weren't really sure how to get a really great resource for that. So I wanted to bridge that gap and help those who didn't have access to literature like we did in my school so easily. So we turned our mission from just in our community of Orange County to more of the global stage, which is kind of a big jump. What we thought what we would do is just host these online book meetings where people can pop in, we'd read stories with them, we'd talk about community service, and it'd just be a good time for them to learn about English and literacy. So right now we have a beginner class and we had advanced class. The advanced class is more focused on exposing them to different types of literature, working on critical thinking skills, comprehension, discussion. And the beginner class is more about English, vocabulary cards, picture books, stuff like that to get them started.
Wow.
And then Ryan.
Wow. And I have so many questions.
Yeah. Keep going. Okay. And then I'm almost done. I'll just wrap up quickly. But
yeah, sure.
Yeah. So we had these book meetings. And then now what we're doing is establishing chapters in the countries that we have. Because right now, I'm so lucky to say that we've reached about 22 countries with our book meetings and have about over 300 members, which we're so excited for. And we're like, well, here we are providing these opportunities. Here we are giving these online book meetings, but we want those members to also be leaders in their own communities. And one way we thought was that they can create chapters so that they'll be able to bring their people and their schools to read literature, kind of like how I started when I was in sophomore, bringing people to read books. And now they can do that too in their communities. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Wow, that's an incredible arc. You know, I just love where it all started and where it's kind of landed. It's incredible. So take a little bit of a step back. How do you find the folks who are the 300 folks who are coming in from 22 different countries? Like, how do you get the word out? How do they learn about you? How do they sign up? It would seem to me if you're doing this virtually, so these are live sessions, obviously, like Zoom sessions. So the time difference is going to be a challenge, right? If someone's in India or Taiwan or wherever around the world. So tell me a little more about the logistics there.
So we started just word of mouth. My cousins are in Taiwan. They'd spread it to their friends. And then some other people in my board had connections to other family in other countries. But really what kind of kickstarted it was going to like social media channels that were meant for a global audience. So for example, I heard of this opportunity just on Instagram. I was kind of scrolling and then I saw that the United Nations major group for children and youth, they were looking for just like youth-led events. So then I just like put out one of our online book meetings and then it got sent to their network, got sent to the people who are signed up in their email newsletter. And that's how we got like a lot of countries because the UN has like a good call. So we kind of put our event there and then we also got some members.
Wow. Wow. That's really sort of amazing. So then who is it that leads the discussion for? So is it you or you have a bunch of volunteers? So again, if the meeting has to happen at like 2 o'clock in the morning because of where the country is, you take turns leading those? Like, how does that work?
Right now we have a set time, 6 p.m. PST, and that's Pacific time. That's able to reach most of the people, we think. And we also record our meetings so that we can send it and they can watch it. And right now it's me and my vice president, Chloe. We're the ones who, like, I do a beginner, she does advanced. But what we're looking for is eventually the people in our school club at my school will be able to lead those meetings because we kind of want to pass it down. We don't always want to be there kind of leading the charge. Our goal now is kind of making leaders themselves that they can be able to step up and also help other people around the world.
Sure. And when you're in the advanced class, for example, is it a particular text that you're looking at? And is it your expectation that they will have read the text or you're actually like physically reading the book to them on the screen?
We give it to them a few weeks before, but we also do read it with them just in case people are busy and stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure. Wow. Well, this is just amazing. Like you've created this international book club, which yeah. is really wonderful. And to your point about the language skills, right? Like you are expanding people's, you know, opportunities here, right? If they don't have the ability to be taught English in the schools, like you're exposing them to it in a way that, you know, then they might pursue it in a different way. There are online classes and different ways to learn other foreign languages, but it's just brilliant. Is the school club still happening? So do you still do the reading a book and going out in the community?
Yeah, we're still continuing that.
That's
so it's
amazing.
Kind of like, yeah, because I feel like I really love my club. It's like really close to my heart. So I want to keep doing that and then also working this. So it's like kind of balancing both. But I think they work well because our school members are able to go to our meetings. And then, like I said, they're eventually able to lead them. So it kind of flows into each other.
Sure. And tell me more about the school club. I love the idea of this, you know, pick a book and then go out into the community and do some service that's sort of related. So tell me about that process. How do you pick the books? And then do you always sort of pick a book that you know you're going to be able to find a service project? Or does sometimes the book and the project not necessarily relate to each other, but it's just an opportunity to go out and serve in the community?
What we do is we ask our members to give books or suggestions that we can do because I really want them to kind of share what they like to read to everyone else. But sometimes my vice president would choose the literary books or the short stories. And we do kind of look for a sort of angle to connect it because it feels awkward if it's like we read this book and then we do something completely different. Because our point is really, how can we take something we love and connect it to the real world? And how can we have this connection. So we try to pick books intentionally so that our members can pick up on that and they can start thinking about ways to serve their community.
Amazing. I actually have a good resource for you and I will share it right now on the podcast. So I'm part of something called Doing Good Together, where I curate a listing of family-friendly volunteer opportunities for the New York City region. But Doing Good Together itself, it's based in Minneapolis. They have a reading section, so a book section which has children's books and young adult books, which are specifically focused on social impact issues. And so I bet if you went there and looked at the listings, and they do it by issue, right? So hunger, you know, poverty, social justice, whatever, and they'll list out a bunch of books. So it's doinggoodtogether.org. And then it's probably like reading with intention or something like that on the pull down menu. So you should check it out. There may be books there that would be good for your club that you haven't explored yet.
Okay. So. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Thank you.
So tell me, have you faced any challenges in setting up this work? I mean, it sounds like your original book club was just like an easy win, right? You just sent out the word and people were like, yeah, I wanted to do a book club and do service. It's like a kind of a no-brainer. But have there been any challenges in setting it up, especially the international piece?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge was just getting people to keep coming to the meetings, because they would do it once and they'll be like, oh yeah, like I volunteered, I'm done. But we want to show them it's like a continuous thing. Sometimes you have to bribe them with snacks and kind of have that there. As for the international one, it's really like you said, spreading the word. We'd have to create different versions of our posters, like English version, German version, mm-hmm. Mandarin version. And that would take a lot of time, but that really does help, because when people see something in their own language, especially since they don't know English, that's how they'll be able to sign up.
Right, right. The consistency thing is really important. You know, I say this all the time, like you don't want it to be a one-off situation, right? The beauty and the meaning and the depth to doing service work is to doing it consistently and keeping at it. And I think the fact that you change up what you do on a monthly basis or whatever is actually should be compelling, right? So you don't get bored with it. This is going to be all new. And I always find, and I always suggest this to young people, you know, the best way to get young people to want to go out and do hands-on service is to let them do it with their friends, right? If it's got a communal social aspect to it, which is sort of by definition what you have going on there. So your club meets after school, is that right? Or is it like a club's time slot in your day?
Yeah, it's during our lunchtime.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and then we just volunteer on the weekends.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. So you just pick a day that, you know, the majority of people can do or whatever. And has your school been supportive of all of this?
Yeah, they definitely have. We have like this thing, our student council, they do a club spotlight and they spotlighted our club. We also have like a OSHA, you can search it up too. It's like our OSHA account, and they have a state of the art where you can submit accomplishments. And then we like highlighted one of our, it was actually the Mary's Kitchen, the volunteer event.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's amazing. And also, if you are going out on the weekend to do the service in the community, how are you making those connections with, you know, the food pantry or whatever? Do you have anyone who helps you to make an introduction? Because sometimes they don't always accept young people of a certain age. You have to be 16. If you're 15, you can't do it. You know, all that good stuff. Like, how do you manage that? Do you have an adult who maybe helps you with that a little bit?
It's actually all youth-led. So I used to do all of the work where I'd outreach and email. I'd search up like volunteer organizations near me. And then I'd just keep emailing like, hey, can we do this event? Hey, we're just high schoolers. Please, you really want to help? And then like most of them would say yes, because we're just there to help them. And then now I have a community outreach coordinator page, and she's like the one that helps outreach to them.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. Well, Rebecca, you've just figured the whole thing out, which is really fantastic. I'm just so impressed with all of it. It's just wonderful. I'm sure you hope that this continues beyond your time in high school. It sounds like you have other volunteers who are going to kind of continue to lead this and into the future. Do you have any plans for how this might work out when you go off to school?
Yeah, I really hope to pass this on. Like the school club for sure have a new president to lead everyone. And also for the international thing, I might even continue in college. I'm not sure, because it's really personal to me. But if not, again, continuing it forward to someone else, because I just feel like I don't want to be one of those things that just die out when I leave. I want to keep the impact going, keep helping more people. And I also think it's a great way to help someone who's like behind me to step into the shoes, like step into the leadership role and kind of learn to manage this organization as well.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, you've got all of this figured out. I'm just so impressed, Rebecca. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Can you tell everybody where they can follow and learn more? Website, social media handles, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So our best way to follow us is through our Instagram account at read2respond, T-O for the two. And we are working on a website right now. We'll probably have it out by the end of this year. So when that's done, we'll also post it on our Instagram. So that's the way you can do to access it.
Amazing. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. We really enjoyed hearing about it and wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come on. Like, I really love talking about this, and it's so inspiring to have someone like listen to me and share my story.
Well, you can tell your enthusiasm for it is really infectious. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.